Vladimir Putin wants investors to bring their money back to Russia, fewer questions asked. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Russia's president delivered a kind of State of the Union address today, accusing his country's enemies of trying to carve up his country and addressing economic challenges, including the falling currency and Western sanctions. There's a key moment in the speech where Putin calls for a, quote, full amnesty to attract capital back to Russia from overseas. Putin went on to explain that those people who fully legalize, fully bring back their capital to Russia should not be bothered by law enforcement agencies to prove where they got their money. The BBC's Olga Ivshina is in Moscow.
Putin was blaming others for problems which Russia now has to face. He also called Western leaders pure cynics, and he blamed them for most of the problems, for example, concerning the falling course of national currency, that this is happening because of some players on the market, and the government knows those players.
Yes, players on the markets. Now, he did raise this notion of some kind of capital amnesty, I guess, what, to attract resources back to Russia from overseas.
Well, yeah, he called for capital amnesty, and the government proposes that this measure would help Russia to overcome economic decline. At the same time, you know, business people themselves are quite skeptical because this call was made by Putin several times already. For the first time, he called for capital amnesty in 2002. And unfortunately for investors, since that time, not many things have changed. So it's still a question whether these measures would work or whether, again, this would be, you know, some just another PR step for Russian government.
The BBC's Olga Ivshina from Moscow. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One reason why healthcare spending in the U.S. continues to rise is that patients and prescribing doctors often favor the shiniest new treatments. But what if the key to improving health and lowering cost is really hidden in plain sight? The Peterson Center on Healthcare, which launches today, believes that it is. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
In a sense, the Peterson Center will act like some crusty old baseball scout freezing his tuchus off on the bleachers, hunting, says Executive Director Jeffrey Selberg, for high-quality, low-cost best practices.
The question is finding them, validating them, and then figuring out how to facilitate the rapid adoption across the country.
Selberg says the Institute of Medicine has found it takes 17 years to spread a good idea across healthcare. With $200 million from its parent, the Peterson Foundation, the center promises to speed that up and help make adoption easy. Avalere Health's Dan Mendelson says the center comes at an opportune time.
There is really no consensus right now on what to do about the cost issue and how the system needs to be changed to improve quality and reduce costs simultaneously.
To avoid just being the latest in a long line of shiny new things, the center must do what many have failed to do before: get good ideas to stick. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
This week and into next year, the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk is exploring the economic forces behind gentrification, a surge of wealth into formerly low-income neighborhoods. We're focusing on one neighborhood, a place called Highland Park in Los Angeles, to get an ongoing intimate look. Some of the first signs of gentrification often appear when the cafes and trendy stores pop up. But as Marketplace's Chrissy Clark discovered, there can sometimes be more than that, more than meets the eye here.
On a street called Figueroa in Highland Park, right next to a little mom-and-pop appliance store, there's a new restaurant called Kitchen Mouse. It used to be a car title loan place. Now, says waitress Erin Johnson, people come in for things like...
It's a peanut butter and jelly cookie, vegan and gluten-free.
The restaurant is modest and cozy. It feels like you're in someone's well-loved kitchen. Since I work for a business show, I always ask, so how did you finance the place, get it off the ground?
Honestly, you don't want to know.
Erica Daking owns Kitchen Mouse.
To get our doors open, about $250,000.
Erica's cafe grew out of a catering company she started. The recipes come from her mom, family favorites with a modern twist. The $250,000, that came from her two business partners.
My name is George Augusto, and I have an artist development company called Dilettante.
George Augusto is one of Erica's investors. She was in an indie rock band, and George put out one of her albums. When she transitioned to opening this little cafe, George's financial backing transitioned too. Then there's the other partner, Dennis McKitten. Erica tells me he's the numbers guy.
Dennis is a bit of a mystery to me still. He lives in New York, LA, and Arizona. I think he had a career in hedge funds.
Wait, a hedge fund guy investing in a little vegan cafe in little old Highland Park? I wanted to know more. So when I was in New York, I visited Dennis McKitten. And it's true. Until recently, he ran a hedge fund.
Long short equity value manager.
Now he's invested not only in Kitchen Mouse, but also the hyper-curated music shop next door. And I had to ask him why. He said he believes in Erica's food. Music is something he's passionate about, but also
location.
He's been to Highland Park, walked around, seen more affluent people on the streets.
It looked to me that this area was ripe for anything, really. Lots of young people around, but not a lot of businesses catering to them.
He told me, basically, it's a bet on the neighborhood. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
For more about gentrification, visit yorkandfig.com. That's York for York Boulevard and Fig for North Figueroa Street. And we want to hear from you. What does gentrification look like where you live? Show us via Instagram with the hashtag gentrificationis. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.